Yes, indeed, we are ready to go on this Tuesday afternoon. Welcome in, ladies and gents. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, that guy there at the bottom of the screen. If you are streaming the show, that is indeed Matthew Scraby.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I didn't hear anything you said leading up to that.
It was okay. A shock.
That's okay.
He doesn't start the show till 2:03. So
let's talk to the guy who showed up at 1:57.
I'm ready to go on. But at least I'm ready to go at 2:00.
How many spaghettis do you have in your life with your headphones? Many, sir.
He is very, very defensive for somebody that doesn't have any issues.
Well, he's just like.
I mean, it resembles when we record every day. I mean, like we record 1:15 every day or whatever time we set.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether, you know, the thing is that you're actually never late because it usually takes
invariably
10 minutes.
Yes. Why isn't this? Oh, this button here. Oh my goodness! Ah! Wait, I got to bring you up.
I
forgot to hit record. Why are you? You don't have
that's
to be defensive.
Right
just
there.
Agree with it. It happens on a daily basis. It's okay. It's part of the fun.
I forgot to hit record.
How did this happen?
I'm just sitting here.
You know
it's
how
all
to, part of you the know fun. How to start it real quick, Trey. You know how to start it.
How?
You came on and you said, I didn't hear anything you just said.
That's right. You put yourself under the gun. Yeah.
I didn't have my headphones in.
I mean, but the show started at 2:00.
He couldn't find his dinger.
I'm well aware. You guys, okay, next time I'm going to point out everything. Everything.
You already do. Anyway. That is not a threat. That is not a threat, my friend.
Are we stalling because we don't want to talk about the Padres? I will gladly take the fall for the Padres loss last night, okay?
It was a better way to start the show picking at you than talking about the Padres.
Yeah.
In that 4-hour and 10-minute game last night, mm-hmm. 12 innings of work, a lot of unexecuted plays. Padres probably that's another one they kind of smoked off. I have to be honest. They had a shot. They should have one for I think it was 15 it was last night. Runners in scoring position. They had
I don't think the Pirates were a whole lot better. I think the Pirates were 0 for 14 until they got their last hit in the 12th inning, but yeah, the Pirates didn't box up as many opportunities as the Padres
right.
did. And you know, this is an old Chris Ello bugaboo. So, but I mean, I'm supposed to get used to it because I'm the old man on the lawn, and you know, I want a Major League Baseball player to be able to bunt, and people don't think that that's important anymore. And
I'm
so
with
it's
you
okay.
on this one in this case.
Yeah, it's fine. You don't need to bunt. Yeah. Fine. Well, when it comes to winning a game, maybe you'd like to get one. I know Jake Cronenworth. They're not in the game without Jake. I mean, he makes some incredible plays. He gets the huge hit with two outs there in the eighth inning. I guarantee you, when Jake Cronenworth closed his eyes and hit the pillow last night, the first thing he thought of is how he popped up that bunt. He knows damn well that's a ball game right there, and you know that's frustrating. So, you know,
I don't think there's any question. I think he would tell you. I think
that's what I mean.
I'm sure he'll be asked about it today. I'm sure he'll tell you with his own words.
Yeah,
those are plays that you eventually got to make, especially late. That boiled down to who was going to make the mistakes first, and especially once we got to extra innings, and we made them, and they got the upper hand now. Padres have shown a great ability to bounce back in it, the type of way you'd want to see a team bounce back. And, you know, we don't know what type of schemes we're going to see today, but he is pitching on the mound today, him and Michael King. This should be, in most cases, a game that looks similar to last night without the kind of mistakes that were made. This should be a marquee matchup, Michael King, Paul Skenes. However, Paul Skenes has not been Paul Skenes as of late.
And Michael King hasn't always been Michael King. He, you know, Michael King, I think, would also be the first to say he's been Michael King for 95% of the batters he faces this year. But he has had that, you know, that ball leak out over the plate once too often, in a key spot and giving up some big hits that Michael King hasn't given up in the past. So, Yeah, look, Ashcraft is a good pitcher. I expected him to have a good game. The guy had 13 wins. Now he almost had 14 had they been able to hang on to the lead. The Padres, I thought, got it. I didn't understand the balk call, Tony, that gave the Padres a run. I understand it was a balk. It looked like the inning was over. But I watched the replay. Maybe you can tell me what did Ashcraft do? Why was that a balk? I didn't.
I'll give you some context. Dan Merzel, who was the home plate umpire, is the same umpire that had the incident with Chris Sale. What was it, last week or a week and a half ago?
Ended up throwing Chris Sale out of the next game. Because he was still arguing about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
This was a simple. He did not remember where to run on third. You have to declare, you know, if you're going to go from the windup or from the stretch. He did not declare, which is why you saw Dan Merzel, before the pitch was actually thrown, point at him. And then he let the pitch come.
Okay.
And at this point, he has to let the play go. And here's why. Jake
hits a home run, that counts. Yeah.
You could take the homer. And so the play ends up not going the Padres' way. And so balk is then called. Padres get the run in.
All right. So there was a good call then. I just didn't get it. I watched, the replay several times. I didn't think Ashcraft did anything wrong. I didn't realize that he has to make a declaration on the, what he's doing there, because it can be very confusing. So
do you think he has to say, I do declare?
I do declare. He did not do that.
I don't know if he'll say that, late in that game, the catcher was like, telling Weaver, hey, make sure you declare. And Weaver starts declaring to the umpire, and the umpire is like, okay, yeah, I see you want to do this. Okay, so they got the point. You didn't see very much arguing either from
no,
Ashcraft.
That's what I mean. It wasn't a big argument.
It was.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. And that was almost just a crazy sequence, because after Jake was out, he got to bat and finished the at-bat, and then he got struck out, but then he challenged it, and he won that. So on the third or fourth time he could have been out, then he got a hit. And then guy got on base, and I'm like, wow, this could be really crazy, but it didn't work out last night.
No, so. Ashcraft was impressive.
He's good.
I mean, you said it. He had a good year coming in there. He was as advertised. If anything, the Padres stretched him further than any team else recently has done. I think he had thrown no more than 85 pitches in the last couple of outings. So they got him to 96, I think it was, which is and he seemed quite irritated too, that the Padres were
they were falling a lot of pitches off that he thought were the end of inning. And Fernando goes crazy, but there's an 0-for-5. Jackson Merrill had an 0-for-5.
Can we come back to Jackson?
Well, of course we can. I mean, look, Jackson Merrill, I don't think anybody even bring it up. I mean, all he wanted to do was get that run in and win the game, but he didn't. So, I mean, that's too bad. That sucks.
I know,
but
I get
that's
it.
The way it goes.
That is baseball.
Everybody says, well, why didn't he just hit the ball and bring him in?
That's not what I'm about to say.
I'm sure that's what he wanted to do.
I'm just saying, like, he has some fantastic at-bats, and then Kirby Yates couldn't find the strike zone. He swings at 3, and yes, this is me sitting on my couch. He swings at 3 in the last at-bat. Very bad pitches. And I believe in Jackson, but I don't know how that happens in that moment.
Well, let me explain what I think happened, and then I'll listen to, because I'm going to save Tony as the batter for the official word on this.
He's going to rip me apart.
He's going to rip you apart or me apart?
No, me.
Well, he might rip me apart. Here's what I saw from Jackson in that at bat. Understand that most left-handed hitters love the ball down and in. I don't know why that is, but they do.
It's a sweet spot.
And the first two pitches were where?
Down and in.
Down and in. So he went after him. He thought that's a pitch he can handle and drive, at least get to the outfield. He does it all the time. He fouled them both off. And now he's in trouble at 0-2, and he chases. But, Tony, what was your thought?
Scraper, what did you say again? Why you don't know why?
I just don't know why. Because he has fantastic at-bats, and then it changes.
It definitely could happen. It's the same thing that happens to Kyle Riley winning an MVP one year, and then the next year looking like he's never swung a bat. Like, hitting is hard. I would say this, though. I think Jackson is too smart to not understand that at least the first few pitches that he sees – aren't going to be strikes. They're going to see if they can get him to chase. And that's what they did. They got him to chase. Chris is not wrong. Those pitchers are down and in, but they're not the down and in that you can do some damage with. As you can see, he can only foul those balls off on the ground hard. You know, a couple of them were hit pretty hard down that line, but I just think that that's kind of how teams have approached him. And when he's had his success, it's a lot of times been because he hasn't chased early, and it's forced this pitcher into the zone, and that's when he does his best work. And listen, he had a run there where, you know, he was doing that, and he was also getting first pitch heaters that were strikes, which, you know, I think opens him up to be able to really do what he loves to do, which is to be on the attack. But I think his streak started because he wasn't chasing those pitches early in the count, especially with runners in scoring position, and then he forced them into the box. And then at that point, he's at a strength there. And I think sometimes for Jack, I think he wants it so bad that, you know,
they used that against him maybe a little bit.
Exactly.
Well, look, it's a frustrating loss. I mean, the bullpen did its thing once again for the umpteenth time. The bullpen goes 6 2/3 of no earned runs. The only run that, you know, they gave up was the ghost runner. You got to give the Pirates bullpen some credit, though. They went 6 innings and gave up just one. So, you know, the Pirates at the trade deadline acquired Weaver. They acquired Duvall. They acquired Yates. They didn't have any of those guys, and they did that so that they would have a bullpen and maybe win some close games and get into the playoffs. What they didn't count on was the injuries to O'Hearn and, before that, O'Neill Cruz that, you know, have taken away a lot of their offense. And they also didn't count on Paul Skeens not being Paul Skeens. So, you know, the Pirate bullpen really hasn't been able to benefit them, but last night it did, and they have a pretty good – they got a bunch of good pitchers down there. I don't want to get out of this without, you know, again, complimenting. You know, Kyle Hart comes in with a big inning in the eighth inning. It's, you know, something to be able to trust him now in a 2-1 game and bring him in and get a scoreless. Miller, okay, you know, typical Mason Miller. But Morejon, 2 innings, and you don't let the ghost runner score either inning. Yeah, that's quality pitching, my friends. That is really good stuff. I think the one inning, the runner got to third with nobody out, and he still didn't give up a run. So, you know, Morejon deserved the win. They just couldn't push a run for him in the, you know, the bottom. Yeah. So,
I mean, in case y'all didn't know, Padres bullpen is pretty exceptional.
Yeah. examples of it.
No doubt. Hopefully tonight they can put some together more offense. We'll see. Paul Skeens was real good the first time they faced him. I don't know that he's thrown the ball as well as he was at that point in the season when the Padres saw him early.
No, yeah, the statistics say otherwise. The other thing that's frustrating about the game last night is the Phillies lost and the Diamondbacks lost. So you could have picked up a little ground. But although I guess that in the other side of looking at that is that it's okay because you know, stay where you were instead of them closing the gap.
How worried are we about this apparent finger bruise that Manny Machado has? Because that looked like he was in a ton of pain last night.
I'm not worried. Okay. I mean, I think as long as there's no fracture. I mean,
He has jacked up fingers, and that's why it hurts.
Scotty Scheffler nearly won the golf tournament the other day, and he couldn't grip the club, so maybe that's a good sign, Scrape. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys ever had that kind of bruise before, but, like, it's fine until it gets buzzed. And, you know, you're hitting two balls. I think it was two he hit off the end of the bat. You're going to feel that. There's just not a whole lot you can do.
I got to give him a lot of credit for even staying in that game. I thought there's no way
thought he, like, tore a ligament in his hand or something.
Yeah, I was definitely a little worried to that extent. But when he went back out to play the field, I was definitely relieved.
I was also like, is he forcing his way through this injury? But it doesn't. He said it's something he just deals with. But I've never seen him go double over in pain like he showed last night.
Yeah.
No, hurt.
It didn't look like it felt good at all.
No. I can't say that I can't say that I wouldn't be in the same boat. So I'm not going to. Anyway, someone save me from this.
We do have we got Fantabulous the Sports Game Show today. I am looking forward to that, as is Scraby.
No, I'm not.
Why not?
We already did a Fantabulous. It was called Fun with Football last week. I think I won Fun with Football,
and
actually.
And you won. That was what the problem is.
Yeah, that's why we called it Fun with Football, because we don't want to give you a win in the Fantabulous. I saw a picture on, was it Instagram, or did Lori see a picture?
Of what?
Of Tony Gwynn Jr. and the two new owners of the Padres.
Oh!
Is this true? Did Lori Ellis see this photo?
Very true.
Huh?
Yeah, very
she
true, he
it.
Says.
Yes.
Yeah. So
how was that, Tony?
Give us a little, give us a report, Tony. Not many of us, you know, got to sidle up to the new people.
sidle up.
They probably were told, now this person here is the most important person in the organization that you need
to
meet.
Knock it off. they seem like super sweet people in my short encounter. I got to talk to them for about, you know, five minutes. They were kind of doing a whole deal on the field, and Kwanzaa and Jose, they seem like awesome people. Quite frankly, you know, I think the press conference did not disappoint. I think
no, that became national news.
They said everything that I think Padre fans wanted to hear, and they just seemed like, you know, sweet, normal people when they're on the field. When I got a chance to talk to them, I did notice, you know, they had real deal security, though, like real deal. Like, I'm talking like suit, like Secret Service earpiece type deal.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
No joke.
That's kind of scary.
Now, what is that?
Not for us, but
yeah.
For them.
What are we thinking that's for?
Yeah,
like are. Like Dodger fans or
Dodger fans?
Dodger fan at 11 o'clock. Look out!
but she had her. They had the family here. Like, you know, they're. I think they're maybe mom or there was just, you know, they had a bunch of folks there with them yesterday. So it was a celebration for everyone.
I think one of the things that I read up a little bit on both of them last night, just did a little, you know, background stuff and going online, and these are successful people, not only just in like the capital, the business that he has, the capital
firm,
but like they're both successful in like 20 different things.
They are.
So that bodes well. Like, they're good at a lot of stuff, and, you know, I don't see why that can't translate to running this team. So they've been very successful, as it were.
All right, let's get to break.
Yeah.
Let's get to break. On the other side, you mentioned the Diamondbacks and Cubs. They got a little fist. They got in that fist of Cubs. They got into a little yelling match back and forth. And it may have been due to an Aztec for life. We'll talk about it on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer.
For our program, but a little honor there for Dolly Parton. Who definitely crossed over into pretty much every category of American culture, passed away today at the age of 80, and certainly a sad day in the music business. And when you're talking about American legends, I think Dolly Parton is on that list. And I know our guys over at the our country station, our sister, those guys are working overtime. They're on the phones and talking to fans who are in tears, and it's quite a sad day. So I hadn't heard about it. I was on the golf course this morning, did not know that Dolly had passed. I would imagine there'd even be a moment mentioned somewhere at the ballpark tonight, Tony. She's a lot of baseball players listen to a lot of country music over the years. And, of course, Dolly wasn't just country music. She was a little of everything.
Yeah, she transcended
kind
of pop culture in some ways. I think I got the message on my banner on my phone, and I immediately turned to my wife and was like, oh, man, Dolly Parton passed, right? Like, so, you know, I think obviously you know, she was more than just a country singer, at least from my standpoint. You know,
so. Yeah, and I think for everybody's standpoint, the philanthropy, the work that she's done and raising money and helping people goes beyond what a lot of people have been able to accomplish. So Dolly Parton, 80 years old, passed today. Earlier, no cause of death was given, and don't necessarily need one.
I heard KSON saying that there was reports that she was sick. So,
She had even said that
she had a residency that she just had to postpone not too long because of something that was going on. So.
All right.
Apparently, I need to. KG says her philanthropy far exceeded her music. I need to look into Dolly Parton because I don't know much about her.
Well, her philanthropy is remarkable. I don't know that anything can totally outdistance her music and her entertainment. She was, like Tony said, I mean, she transcended it. I mean, country is not fair to call Dolly Parton a country singer or a pop singer or anything, really. She's just pretty much all of it. And she was pretty good in the movies she did, too. She was pretty good on screen. So. It's going to be missed. Certainly going to be missed. Padres and Pirates game 2 tonight after the Pirates win it last night. And Tony was adding it up there. 4 hours and 10 minutes. Not a moment too soon. Remember when those games used to happen kind of often, Tony? You know? I mean, back in the day.
It was the norm.
It was kind of a norm. You remember the American League, when the Yankees and the Red Sox would play, they expected it to go 4 hours.
If without a pitch clock last night, this would have been a 6-hour game. Yes, right. Yeah. We would have been here forever.
There was a lot of deep counts. Even though the score was low, it seemed like every batter was up there at a 3-2 count. Robbie Ray was, I'd be honest with you, I'm so impressed with Robbie Ray. I know it wasn't a winning night for him, and I know, you know, he wants to go 6 at least, but I don't know how many times Robbie Ray gets down in the count, Tony, 3-1, or gets to a full count with a couple of runners on, and you know he has to come in with something, and he gets that pitch on the corner and you know, gets a pop-up out of it, or sometimes gets the double play ground ball, and it's actually kind of fun to watch him pitch. I know people could say, well, he's like Vasquez. He puts a lot of runners on base, but it's not like Vasquez because when runners are on base, that's when the fun begins with him because he can make some great pitches in pressure situations.
He's just he said it on the show the other day. Yeah. He's unbothered by being in those spots. Like, it doesn't change for him. Maybe it makes him bear down a little bit more. But last night was a great example. He had traffic all day early and just kept, you know, guiding his way through it, get a punch, get a little weak pop-up. Next thing you know, he's out of the inning without giving up a run. And I think that's, that. As he said, that comes from years, 13 years of being in those spots, not doing it right for a while, and then learning how to pitch in those spots because it changes. When you get runners in scoring position, you have to be able to think along with the hitter.
Yeah.
Most hitters, they want to try to get it done. You know, they want to try to get it done early. And so you can't give into that. We see it on watching Jackson is a good example. He wanted to get that knock early in that at bat.
Yeah, right.
And so Gage
Kirby Yates
that.
Probably knew it, so he didn't give
right.
it to him.
Gage didn't give it to him. Next thing you know, you're behind in the count, and it just becomes harder at that point because your discipline has to be through the roof not to chase. And it's just easier said than done most of the time.
Oh, yeah. As soon as that fastball comes up around the eyes, man, it's so hard. And you know as you're swinging, right? You know you're like, no!
At some point in the middle of that swing, you're just like, please get a piece of this so I can get another pitch.
What am I doing? Yeah, that's the way it is for sure. Cubs, Arizona last night, it was a 7-0 whitewash for the Cubs. Just for my own heart, I want to throw in that PCA went 0 for 5. It's the first time I think I've seen him go 0 for 5 all year.
What? So there was no thrusting last night?
Yeah, I guess no thrusting.
No thrusting last night.
No personal thrusting. But but the team was thrusting after the win. But what happened down there with your old friend Quentin?
Hold on.
Your old friend Quentin Berry.
Hold on.
You got to clip that. You got to clip that.
The team was thrusting after.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. You've made some. You've had
why,
two.
Why does
two
your mind work
jokes?
So? Your mind is. You have a warped mind.
You have made two great jokes today. The first one was about the Dodgers fans. And this
mind.
One.
Oh.
Anyway.
Apparently,
Quentin Berry was into it last night. What happened?
There was some screaming matches happening both sides of the Cubs and Diamondbacks, and it was over the fact that Merle Kelly believed that Quentin Berry was giving signs.
Oh.
Now, you know, I don't know.
Now,
where is
Quentin Berry? Third base coach these days?
Third base coach.
Third base coach.
So now, remember, they changed the rules this year for the first and third base coach. You have to remain in your box. You cannot be anywhere out. Now, at least the video that I seen with kind of Merrill looking at Q irritated, he's in the box. Now, I don't know the culture of today's game. It seems like we've been having a lot of conversations about first and third base coaches kind of getting in on the stealing of the sign game. And so I don't know if that's an okay thing. But here's what I will say. Merrill Kelly, if my man is in the box and he can somehow still tell
what you're throwing, your catcher right there.
Somebody's got to fix something. Whether he's getting it from you or he's getting it from the catcher, he's not leaving his area to be able to do it. And so...
Yeah, that's on Gabriel Moreno's the catcher. He can't... But the other thing is, explain to me how you're stealing signs... When we use the pitch comm now, how many signs are actually being given? This is what confuses me now, because everybody is stealing signs. You almost hear about it more than you ever heard about it. And guys on second base are giving
this
signals. But I thought that you're just doing the pitch comm. So when did this – what is happening?
This is how good these cats are down there, right? They can tell – I mean, this is how good – if you're a baseball player and you watch games, this is stuff that you pick up.
Okay.
And so when Merrill Kelly goes into his glove, remember how you have to grip a changeup versus how you would grip a fastball. The glove is going to change forms based on more fingers being in it versus less fingers. And if you're not good at disguising that, guys are going to pick you off. All
so that has
day,
nothing to do with the actual sign being given. It has to do with the pitcher going into his delivery.
He hasn't tapped into the pitch comm and is like getting it from pitch comm. No, he's reading either the catcher and how maybe he's setting up, or how Kelly is going into his glove. According to Merrill Kelly, it was changeups. So clearly he was doing something different. And I think Merrill Kelly's, I think his gripe was that he feels like it should just be the players that are stealing signs, not the coaches. And I can't say I completely disagree, but I will say there have been coaches stealing signs from each other across the way for as long as I can remember how to play. Now,
I think it's all fair play at that level. As long as you are not using video, as long as you're not using trash cans, you know, as long as you are not, doing things like that. To me, man, that's good old baseball. I'm assuming John McGraw, managing the Giants in the 1920s, was looking across at Connie Mack trying to steal some signs. So, to me, that's fine.
Let me tell you,
that's
I had
all
teammates
fair
that,
in baseball. So,
I had teammates that were that all they would do is sit on that bench and watch and try to pick up things, whether it was a pickoff play, whether it was signs. Most guys don't like to know the signs, but there are some that do, and if you're a good teammate, you're going to get on second base, and you're going to see if you can figure something out, how to get it to him. This happened last night. Kyle Hart busted – I can't remember who was on second base. It was O'Neill Cruz. Busted him, giving signs, punched out my man, and turned to him and applauded, like, good job.
I missed that. I did.
I missed that,
no,
too.
No, I'm sorry. Most of y'all missed that.
I did not see
that. I don't know that it was on camera. I'm actually here, watching it.
All I know is that, you know, we talk about signs and whether it would help. Hitting is hard, well, Tony says. But if you ever hit and you know what pitch is coming, it's still hard, but it's a lot easier.
Game changer.
It's a lot easier. So
When you get in the box, especially these guys at this level, if they know what's coming, they're going to have a whole lot more. They're still hitting a round ball with a round bat, so there's going to be some losses there, but it makes these hitting so much easier. Just think about batting practice. You know where every pitch is going to be.
Still don't hit them all out of the ballpark, but you hit a lot more of them.
I would.
No. You would, yes. No. Most, right.
I know we got to go to break.
Very
sorry.
Few of us are as good as you.
Thank you.
Our first break of this, actually second break of the day, leads us to a fantabulous sports game show next.
Yes, indeed. You know what time it is? A little Chris's fantabulous sports game show coming your way. 241.
Another way to put that, it's time for Scraby to lose.
You know, I never heard Steve Harvey or whoever that guy was that kissed everyone make fun of a contestant like that.
Steve Harvey. Oh, Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson, that's the guy.
Wait, Richard Dawson used to kiss everyone? I don't remember
that. Family Feud.
Oh, I kind of do remember that.
Oh, yeah, it was creepy.
That was kind of his thing.
It was his thing, but it's like, it doesn't make it okay.
He said, yeah, that was kind of his thing.
It was kind of his thing. Like, he just walked up to whatever woman he wanted and planted a kiss on
her.
You got
to give him a little credit that he was able to establish that to the point where every woman expected it after a while. They were almost disappointed if he didn't kiss them at that point.
That is a crazy time you guys were living in.
Crazy time.
Yeah, crazy Richard Dawson time. Had it down, man. Crazy all right. Fox, old Richard Fox. Richard Dawson.
Should we just go to the game now?
Let's go to the game.
Well, I will not.
Hey, all you beautiful people out there. It's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right.
We like to call it.
Ooh, I'm going to go.
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Yes, I will not be kissing either contestant.
Thank goodness.
All right, here we go. Fantabulous Sports Game Show. There are 18 correct answers today. That means you guys conceivably could tie 9-9. Mm. So that's a possibility. Happen. But mostly it's going to be whoever is first to 10 is going to win. If you get an answer wrong, you get a strike. Three strikes and you're out. And Tony and Scraby will alternate answering what they feel are correct answers once I give the category. You can play along out there. Today, pretty simple category. We are looking at this decade. This decade, meaning we start in 2020, which was the COVID season. We start in 2020 through 2025. You guys are trying to name the 18 players that have won either a MVP or a Cy Young Award in Major League Baseball. 18 different guys this decade have won either an MVP or a Cy Young Award this decade in Major League Baseball. Now, I think one of the first things you'll think of is that there are guys who've won more than one in a couple of the categories, and yes. Those guys only count for 1 point.
They only count
they
for
only
one
count
point?
For 1 point. So there are 18 different correct answers here. There are some answers that would be correct twice or even more, as it turns out. Tony, you good on the category?
Yes, sir.
All right. Scrape, good on the category?
I'm good.
MVP or Cy Young Award winners this decade, either league, 18 correct answers. Scrape, you want to go first or would you like to pass?
No, I'm going to go first just to get it going.
Go for it.
I'm going to take Shohei Ohtani, please.
Shohei Ohtani. By the way, in 6 years this decade, how many do you think he's won?
Three?
He's won two in the American League, two in the National League.
He's won four.
Jeez. Yeah. Pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
Two in each league. All right, Tony, you're up. Shohei's off the board.
Wait, what's the time frame here?
Since this 2020. Decade. This decade. 2020 through now.
Oh.
2020 through now. Yeah, we're starting in the COVID season through last year. Obviously, neither of those awards have been given out this year yet.
So. Blake Snell.
Blake Snell. Mm. Yeah, he won a Cy Young here for the Padres in 2023. That is correct. Yes, he won two but one of them, he only has one in this particular category. His other Cy Young was one prior
I just didn't want to shortchange him in terms of how many he had, but I got
you. We can't. We would never shortchange Blake, who, by the way, really is pitching like he was badly injured all season, wasn't he? Poor guy.
He went like seven innings.
He goes out there every game and just nobody can touch
him. 18 strikeouts.
Yeah, but he's been on his deathbed all summer.
All right, I'm going to go next.
All right, we're tied at one. We're looking for MVP or Cy Young winners this decade.
I'm going to guess the guy who's walking around on Petco without his shoes on right now
He's on the screen.
Mr. Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens, Cy Young Award winner last year. That is correct. All right, Scraby takes a 2-1 lead. MVP, Cy Young winners this decade. Tony Gwynn Jr., your turn. There are 18 correct answers. 15 remain. A little more time taken by Tony than usual on this. Usually he's ripping these off pretty quickly.
I'm having like a brain fog right now. Give me a second.
Well, that's fine.
It was a late game last night.
Yeah, 4-hour game. Understandable. Scraby, you got to jump in here and put a little pressure on him. He does the same thing.
Hey, I got a question. If you give a if you can name a player, does it count for both, or is it just count for one side?
You mean like AL versus NL, or is it just
like there are contestants that have won both?
Nobody's won both MVP and Cy Young this decade. It has happened in the history of the award, but not this decade.
Oh, I guess he hasn't won the other one yet.
Right. In this decade, that does not come into play.
Okay. Who's
Zach Wheeler.
Oh.
Zach Wheeler. That is incorrect.
What? Wait,
he has won a Cy Young Award this decade.
I just assumed.
Did he win? Does he not won one?
Not this decade. Not since 2020.
Tony's
a little.
He's feeling like me right now.
Well, he's a little. I think he's a little perplexed at what's happening here. I don't know. Does Zach Wheeler even won a Cy Young Award?
Maybe he has it.
He's doing some research.
Well, I'm just making sure.
That's fine.
I know he hasn't
totally
won this decade.
Tony was right.
We're good. So. We can move on. It's all good.
He hasn't won one this decade. He finished second in 2024.
Wow.
But he's not one.
Okay, that's
right.
What it was.
I'm going to go with another big bopper, Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge, yeah. He's got three MVP trophies this decade, 2022, 4 and 5. All right, Scraby's got a 3-1 lead here, surprising in the early going. Tony Gwynn Jr., need to get out of that brain fog.
Seth Lugo.
Seth Lugo. No Cy Young Awards for him either.
He didn't win one.
Tony is way out in left field right now. This is
awesome.
Shocking performance.
This is shocking.
Right now.
This is shocking.
MVPs or Cy Young winners this decade.
This
Scraby
is like Tiger Woods in his heyday shooting 85.
So far.
It happens.
There's 14 correct answers left. Tony Gwynn Jr. is not coming up with them. Scraby, you can go up by a 4-1 margin here.
Tarek Skubal.
Tarek Skubal is correct. He won the Cy Young each of the last 2 years.
Recently, too.
He's won two. So Scraby has Aaron Judge, Shohei, Skeens, and Skubal. The only correct answer for Tony is Blake Snell. There are still 13 correct answers left, but Tony needs one here. Or he is he's on the doorstep, as it were. He's got to come up with the correct answer to stay alive. This may be his greatest comeback ever, or it may be one of his most shocking defeats ever. Which will it be?
How about Jose Ramirez?
Jose Ramirez has not won an MVP award. This game is over. It is over. The fans are stunned.
Yeah, they're asking for their money back.
Scraby, play your song. You get a chance to dance.
Wow.
You won going away today. I'm going to give you a minute over here. What are you doing?
We should hear screeching like you're at a basketball gym.
That's
right
what I'm trying to do, man.
Oh, is that you're doing it on purpose?
He's trying to really rub it in because he knows he's not going to win again for a while.
This is the most shocking
defeat. I would have lost everything I had that Tony would lose this. And especially in the fashion you did. The American League MVP award winners that you did not name, the only one you didn't name, because Ohtani's won two and Judge's won three. The only other winner was in 2020 Jose Abreu of the White Sox.
Dang it, I was going to say that. The reason I know that is because the Padres almost signed him.
All that seems like so far away ago. I can't even like.
Yeah.
Trevor Bauer won the Cy Young the year of COVID.
National League winners this decade, along with Shohei Ohtani, are Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper, Paul Goldschmidt, and Ronald Acuna Jr.
Wow. I didn't think one of those names crossed my mind.
The Cy Young Award winner, Scraby mentioned it, Trevor Bauer with the Reds of all teams in 2020, the COVID year. Corbin Burnes, Sandy Alcantara.
Oh, I forgot about him.
We had Snell, which you got, Chris Sale, and then last year Paul Skeens. And on the American League side, I'm gonna give you a pass on missing Shane Bieber, but I can't give you guys a pass.
Robbie Ray?
Robbie Ray.
I couldn't remember if it was pre-2020 or not.
I thought it was pre-2020.
I thought it was like
2021. Verlander, who did also win an MVP once with a Cy Young, but not in this decade. And the only other name is Garrett Cole in 2023. So a very surprising result today, but it just goes to show.
I appreciate it.
You have to play the game.
You got to play the game.
You have to play the game.
There's just certain, I don't know why, there's just certain things that stick in my head, and MVPs and Cy Youngs is one of them.
Well, good for you. And obviously, those do not stick in Tony's head.
Served you well today.
It did. I bet you if we played the
I usually stick in my head. I was off today. You know what I'm saying?
I bet you if we played the same exact category next week, he would wipe the floor.
The same category?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course, I'd wipe you next week. We just did it.
Well, we might. I'm saying like, well, we might do another decade next week. We'll see if you can keep going, Scraby.
Oh, if you go through the 2010s, there's a lot of alcohol brain in there. There's nothing up there.
The only the only decade that I would do great on MVPs is the 70s and 80s. I know all of those, but I don't know any of the
72
recent ones.
72 NL.
Johnny Bench.
Oh, that was easy, huh?
Yeah, Johnny won in I think 70 and 72. One back to back, or two
check
of those.
His work, man. He could just be telling us.
That's true.
I just check it. Check my work. Pete Rose, 73. Steve Garvey in 74.
Oh, that's his guy. I know that one's
true. Garv, 75. National League. I know it's Fred Lynn in the American League. I think 75.
Hold on,
struggling on
there.
The National League side. 76 was the year that George Foster had 52 home runs. He won it on the NL.
Joe
side.
Morgan won the NL.
Oh, yeah. Joe Morgan, 75 and 6. He won back to back, actually.
He did. He did. You're
George
right.
Foster was 77.
Oh, one of my favorite names ever, Thurman Munson.
Thurman Munson, 76 for the Yankees. Thurman Munson died tragically in a plane crash during
plane
the season.
Crash, yeah.
He was flying home to see his family on an off day. He was a pilot, and he drove, tried to fly from New York to wherever it was. His family lived in Ohio or something, and a tragic plane crash took his life.
That is tragic.
Yeah, 1979, in the middle of the season.
They had three MVPs one year.
No, 1979, there was a tie with Keith Hernandez and Willie Stargell.
That's crazy.
They tied. They actually voted, then they came out tied that year.
All right.
Very good. Scraby.
Champ is here.
Champ is here.
Champ is here, he said.
Oh, my goodness.
I only get to say it like six times.
Hey, dog,
three
man,
times
get,
a year.
Get off, man. You're doing your thing. I guess you deserve it.
Congratulations, Scraby. You have won an all expense paid for the next 3 days to Las Vegas.
Woo!
That's actually true.
It is true.
More Gwen and Chris is coming up.
Yeah.